God is good. Thank you, praise team. We are blessed beyond measure. First things first, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1, now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given to the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability. Somebody say beyond. How do you function when you're going through something? How do you function when you're in the middle of an ordeal? How do you function when you don't want to function? When you don't feel like functioning? How do you function when you're going through something, you're dealing with something, something is in your face? How do you do what you need to do? How do you do God's will? How do you accomplish God's will? How do you run your errands? How do you go to work and work effectively? How do you interact with your family in a healthy way? How do you function when you're going through something? Most people, when they're going through something, there is the natural temptation to suck in. And it can be very challenging to function like you would normally function. When money is tight and you're going through a financial trial, you may not want to function the way that you need to function. You put your foot on the gas and you don't move. You turn the ignition, but it doesn't seem like it's starting. Everything in the natural is telling you that you can't. It won't. No way. So how do you function when you're going through something, when you're dealing with something, when you don't want to function, you don't feel like functioning? These verses tell us how. Expect the grace of God to come upon you. Expect the grace of God to operate in your life, to operate in your spirit, to operate in your psyche. I want to make known to you the grace of God which has been given to the churches in Macedonia, that although they were broke and couldn't give, somehow, some way, they were able to give. Somehow, some way, they gave. They functioned when everything said that they could not function. That they were going through a great ordeal of affliction, the scripture says. And in the midst of that great ordeal, what happened? Liberality flowed. That didn't come from them. They could not produce that in their own strength. How do you function when you can't produce what's needed in your own strength? You look to the grace of God. You expect the grace of God to be made abundantly available to you to function, to operate, even in the midst of the storm. Even in the midst of the ordeal, expect and know that the grace of God is operating in your life, enabling you to do what the circumstances say you can't do. enabling you to do what your own thoughts tell you you cannot do. How is this going to get done? The grace of God. The grace of God. How will we get past this? The grace of God. The grace of God is His ability working in you beyond your ability. Well, Brian, I just can't. Too hard. He's not looking at your strength. He's looking at His. He's looking at His grace operating and flowing in your life, enabling you to do what you could not do. To the point that they were begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. They were broke, they were in poverty, yet they were begging to give because of the grace of God. Whether you're broke, whether you're depressed, whether you're anxious, whether you're fearful, whatever it is, know that the grace of God is enabling you to go beyond yourself, is enabling you to do what you thought you could not do, is enabling you to function. Most people would be put out by this, but yet my testimony is God has enabled me to walk in victory, to be more than a conqueror, to win, and to demonstrate that victory in my everyday life. And I will say it's not me. It's not my strength. It's not my ability. I will say it's by the grace of God. By the grace of God that I'm winning. By the grace of God that I'm walking. By the grace of God, I will not stay here, but I will go on to what God has for me. By the grace of God, I will do it. Not by my own strength, but by the grace of God. In the morning, at night, throughout the day, the grace of God. The grace of God is working in my life, operating in my life. Father, right now, I just speak forth your grace, Lord. Your grace on your family, Father, to do what the circumstance says they can't do. To do what their thoughts say they cannot do. Father, I speak your grace to your family right now, Father. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, switching gears here a little bit, we're going to spend a few minutes here talking about God's provision. God's provision. How does God provide? What methods does He use to provide to you? The Bible said, let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. We're going to look at a couple of different verses that give understanding and insight to how God provides and the methods that God uses to bring provision into your life. It's important to understand that God does not grab things out of thin air. He doesn't grab money or create money out of thin air. He uses His creation as a vessel to bring you what you need. All of creation is responsive to God and to the Word of God. In Him, in the Word, all things consist and all things hold together. Creation resonates with the Word. That's why Jesus was able to speak to the tree and it obeyed Him. Creation resonates with the Word. That's why you always want to make sure that the Word is in your mouth and you're declaring it, you're decreeing it over creation so that creation can respond the way it's supposed to respond. But God is not pulling money out of thin air. He is looking at his creation as a vessel, and he frequently goes back to creation to get you what you need. He frequently goes back to creation as a starting point to bring about your blessing, to bring about your provision. When he created man, he went to his creation, the earth, and formed man out of the dust of the earth. So we're going to take a look at a couple of passages that speak to how God brings the manifestation of your provision. And the goal here tonight that God wants you to get is always listen to the Holy Spirit on what God wants you to do concerning that provision. Be open, listen, pay attention. What is God saying about how this need is going to get met? Hearing from God, being on the lookout for opportunities, listening to the Holy Spirit. John chapter 2 and verse 1. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." How much wine did they have? Zero. Darling, how much money do we have in the bank? Ask me tomorrow. Because right now it says, the wine has run out. The provision has run out. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now, there were 6 stone water pots set there. 6 stone water pots that just happened to be there. Set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." So they filled them up to the brim. They got everything in that they could. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So Jesus looked at creation. There's a need. The wine has run out. There is zero in the bank. He's looking around at the earth. He's not looking in the sky, because he's not pulling this out of thin air. There is something that you have in your life that God is going to use. Something that you already have. Something that exists. And it's important that you listen to the Holy Spirit about what that is. Because when the need comes, God is going to say, "Look around. Because I already have in place what you need to meet this need." The water pots just happen to be there. They were there because they had to align with God's will, plan, and purpose, and they needed to be there. Because the need had caught up with them. But when the need caught up with them, the provision was already in place. And so God said, look around, 6 water pots. That's what I'm going to use as a starting point to bring about the provision. Those are the vessels that I'm going to use to bring about the provision. What creation vessels does God want to use in your life to bring about the provision? What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your garage? What do you have in your closet? God put it on Holly's heart to have a garage sale. We had all this stuff that we weren't using. We had baby clothes, tons of them, that we couldn't wear anymore. God put that on Holly's heart as a way to bring some additional moolah into her hand. That didn't have to be on her heart, but it was on her heart. She shared that with me, and we spent 3 hours pulling together things. We put a quick little Facebook post up. Our neighborhood has a Facebook page. And let people know, put our address. We went to Walmart, got 2 cheap folding tables because you want your return to be more than your investment. And I'm not going to spend $200 on tables for a $50 return. But we quickly and cheaply got things together because it's something that we could do. It's something we had in our hand. And so we did it. And the girls helped us. They were having fun. I don't know if they were more in the way, but they were enjoying themselves. Every time we put something out, they pick it up, run around. Hey! We got everything out there. People started showing up before we were done. Had young moms coming. They were pregnant. Moseying up the driveway. We had trucks rolling by, stopping. Y'all seen them garage sales. They creep.
Yep. Yep.
What they got in their house? But in a matter of hours, Holly made a couple of $100 just with stuff around the house that we weren't going to use anyway. And we're going to throw away or take the Goodwill or whatever. That's a very simple, small, practical example. But what can you do with what you have in your hand, with what's in your closet? What can you do with the people that you do know? What vessel is God going to use? It can be something in your house, something in your closet. Because now Holly can take that seed and plant it somewhere else to receive a bigger harvest. Because that wasn't necessarily harvest. More so than it was seed to plant to do something else. The water in the water pots or the water pots themselves, that wasn't the harvest. We aren't looking for the water pots. Water pots are the seed that can be used to bring about the wine. But they already exist. They're already in play. What do you have in your hand that God can use? God's not looking up in the air. Well, God will just cause the money to rain out the sky. Well, there's some problems with that. But he can cause food to rain out. And I've shared with you before that you don't always need the money. What you need is the thing, and however you get the thing, whether it's through favor, wisdom, relationship, so you don't have to seek money. Seek God and allow Him to bring about the thing that you need, even if you don't have the money. But He went back to the earth. He was not looking in the sky. He went back to the earth and used that and turned the water into not just any normal wine. He turned it into the best wine. So much so that unredeemed man said, "This is good stuff." God's not interested in you just getting by with entry-level things, although you may start at an entry-level point. God provides quality things. And you as His child should expect and look for quality. Now, it may take you some time to get there, but always have your eyes on that quality thing, not the thing that's going to fall apart in 2 months. The quality shoes, a quality shirt, a quality vehicle. A quality vehicle doesn't mean that it's a Aston Martin, but a quality vehicle will be what you need that'll accomplish God's purpose for you and won't break down every 2 miles. A quality vehicle. Well, Brian, right now I just have an entry-level vehicle. Well, that's a starting place. As you are faithful with what is small, God can bring you more. But always have your eye on quality, because you serve a quality God. You have a quality Father, and He produced quality wine. So much so that the world took notice. This isn't just cheap stuff. He didn't just say, "Here, this will do." No, quality relationships, quality things. Whatever quality means to you, then that's quality to a point. I can think of some things that I don't care who you are. It's not quality. And if you think it is, we'll pray with you and bring you to the land of the living, because that ain't it. But you don't have to be like everyone else and do what everyone else does and have what everyone else has. If you like it and it's quality to you, then enjoy it. But don't pressure someone else if they're looking at or have their eyes on something else that is even more quality. Don't make them feel bad about their goal, because you have a quality Father. And He brought out the best wine. It wasn't junk. It was the best. 2 Kings chapter 2. No, 2 Kings chapter 4, I'm sorry. Verse 1. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come." The creditor has come. The bill has arrived. The bills, plural, have arrived. The phone calls are coming. I'm getting things in the mail. They done got my email address. They done found my phone number. They're sending me text messages. They're calling relatives. The creditors have come to take away. That's what creditors do. To take away my two children. Well, Brian, they're threatening to take away my house. Well, this certain woman, they're threatening to take away their kids. To be his slaves. Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you?" His question, "Tell me, what do you already have? What do you have where? In the house. What can God use to bring about this provision?" Because he's not raining money out of the air. God can use a divine appointment, a meeting, someone you know, a relationship. God used a relationship to provide a place for the memorial. God can use a relationship, people you know, an idea. Here's the thing, most of the times, they already exist. They're already in your life. They may be second or third connection removed, but you either know them, you know someone who knows them, or you know someone who knows someone who knows them. God, who has a macro vision of what's going on, starts to move people around, start connections, and in due season, bring your path across someone else's path at the right time for the right reason to be your manifestation. But you have to be listening. You have to walk according to the Spirit. You have to keep your eyes and your ears, your spiritual ears, open to see what God is doing and recognize what God is saying about that need. Not pressing about it, but listening and resting. Praying in the Spirit. Not just over the need, but just in your relationship with God. In your normal prayer time, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And in those moments, know that he may talk to you about something you can do, something you already have, to meet and address that need. It could be an idea that he uses. He could use your job. He may use it as seed to get started, like the water pots were seed. But he uses his earth, his creation, to get started, to turn it into something else, or to extend the life of it. I only had $1,000, but I did with $1,000 what people usually do with $20,000. I took a little bit, he took a little bit, but I accomplished so much with that. God's power, God's favor on the things that are already in your hand can turn into abundance.
Amen. Amen.
Look for it. Expect it. 2 Kings, still there. What do you have in the house? And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house." Brian, I don't have anything. I don't have nothing to get started with. All of you have an accept. What is your accept? Everybody has an accept. You saying, "I can't do this, I can't do that, I don't have anything, woe is me." No, you have an accept.
Brian, I don't have anything except a pen. Well, with a pen, the Holy Spirit may tell you to write down the vision, make it plain, speak over it, confess over it, declare over it, because God knows what he's going to do with your spoken word out of your mouth. You have an except. I don't have anything, Brian, except some baby clothes. Well, what can you do with the baby clothes? I don't have anything except an old car. Well, with an old car, you can drive to an interview. And if you can get to the interview, then you might find God's favor, an open door with the person you're interviewing with. God may put you on their heart to give you the job, or God may give them an idea. You know what? They came in for this position, but I see them doing this and it makes more money. What did it start with? It started with an accept. I have an old car. What is your accept? What seed, what vessel can God use to extend the life of it or turn it into something else? How can you parlay an old car into a job you weren't expecting? By starting with what you have, being obedient, being faithful to that, and then watching God turn it into something else. Well, Brian, I only have $100 to get started. Who knows but that you start with that $100, and as you were stewarding that $100, opportunities and things are opening up, and something flips, something clicks, something turns, and it becomes much more. You're doing much more. The prices go down. The opportunities increase. Well, this was $1,000. They just dropped the price to $500. That's what I had. I'm doing with $500 what it would typically take $1,000 to do. Well, Brian, that's just coincidence. That's just them sale papers. Well, as Pastor Jim used to say, if God has to make, if God has to bless all the coupon cutters that weekend to get it to you, to get the deal to you, so be it. I'll take it. I'll take that. But it exists. It's already there. Look around. Observe. And if you don't see anything right now, wait. Wait, because in due season, at the right time, the right opportunity will come. You will see it. As you continue to live and do God's will and do what you see the Father doing, eventually your path will come across your seed that you then pick up and steward and plant to bring about more, to bring about the provision, to bring about the abundance. But you're walking in God's path for you, and your path is crossing your water pots. Your path is crossing your jars, your vessels. Verse 3, then he said, go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Well, Brian, I don't like my neighbors. We argue and fight all the time. Hey, do your best to treat your neighbors well. They might have a vessel one day. Love thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor. Love your enemies. Didn't Jesus say that? Love your enemies. Who knows but that neighbor has a vessel. Go borrow vessels at large, even empty vessels, do not get a few. Well, I'll just take a couple. It says, do not get a few. That means get a lot. Get a lot of vessels. Get as much as you can, because what is about to come needs somewhere to go. Open as many bank accounts as God puts in your spirit, because you need somewhere to put it. Well, Brian, I'm not going to open the bank accounts until I get the money. I'm not going to borrow the vessels until I see the oil start flowing. So no, go make a place first, knowing and expecting the harvest to come in. What places has God told you to make? Don't borrow a few. Don't be poverty minded. This is the word of God. That means borrow a lot. Have an abundance mentality, not because you want it, but because that is the nature of your Father. And you are a partaker of the divine nature. Borrow not a few, borrow a lot, so that you can receive the abundance that God is pouring into your life. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons, pour out into all the vessels, and you shall set aside, what is full. So she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. They were opening the bank accounts, and I was putting money into them. When the vessels were full, notice that Jesus also says the water pots that we read about, they filled them to the brim. Again, God, your Father, is a Father of abundance. Let's get all of it in there. Let's get it all in there. When the vessels were full, they weren't halfway full. They weren't a little bit of the way full. When the vessels were full, they ensure that account for $100,000? I'll put every bit of $100,000 in there. Then I'll put it into another account. Bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not one vessel more. And the oil stopped. What if there had been just one more vessel? You think that oil would have kept flowing? What if there had been two more vessels? You think that oil would have kept flowing? If there were three vessels, when the vessel stopped, when there was no more room, when there's no more room being made, no more giving God an opportunity. No saying, God, I open my life for you to work however you want to work. When the vessels became closed off, so did the blessing. It's not that the blessing was not available, but the blessing had nowhere to go. When you as a vessel get closed off, where is it going to flow? You're already blessed. But it has to flow somewhere. When there were no more vessels who God could use, materially or by person, it stopped. It stopped. Are we a closed off church? Are we closed up? Are there no more vessels available for God to use in this body? Or are we open? Are we always open to what God is doing, to what God is saying, so that the blessing does not stop being poured? It just flows and flows and flows because there are open vessels. A place is made. Your mentality is, God, Lord, here am I. Use me. I'm an open vessel. If you are open, God will use you. God will pour into you. But when we close up, when we get hurt, when we get offended, and when we close up, sorry, brother, Pastor Richard. No problem. When we close up, there is nowhere for that to flow. Make sure two things: that you always have vessels, places where the blessing can flow and go. And number two, make sure that you as a vessel are always open for the blessing to constantly be poured out on you. Verse 7, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, and pay your debt, and that's it. God is not the just get by God. Scripture bears that out. It's not me. Scripture bears that out. Go pay your debt. Well, Brian, I got the bill paid, but that's it. No. You, not just you, you and your sons, you and your family can live. That's not just one day. We got the debt paid and we got money to get through tomorrow. So you can live. That's a good period of time. So you could live on the rest. Feeding the thousands. Jesus said, pick up the rest. Pick up the fragments. Because the need got met, but there was still the rest that was left over. There were still leftovers. God is a leftover God. Whatever the immediate need is that you have, yes, God wants to meet it. God wants to address it. But don't let your expectation just stop there. Know that he's not interested in just meeting your need, but to bring about more than enough so that you can do more, so that you can live on the rest. It goes beyond. If you got a $25 bill, you need more than $25. One, because if you're a tither, then you're short. Because if you're increased by $25 and you got a $25 bill, well, now you got $22. So you're still $3 short. And then two, God by nature, and you, the child of God by nature, emulating your father, God is a God of more than enough. Of more than enough of overflow. But we have to expect it. We have to anticipate it in our spirit. We have to be on the lookout for it. We have to listen for it. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Simple. Rest. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, you do it. If he doesn't tell you to do anything, don't do anything. You wait for the right time, the right season. But when he says move, you move. When he says make the phone call, you make the phone call. When he said write down the idea, you write down the idea. When he says take the meeting, you take the meeting. When he says go to the interview, you go to the interview. When he says look around your closet, you look around your closet. Look around your backyard, get all them weeds out. You might have something under the ground. Mineral rights. Somebody might have left something. But let it be the Holy Spirit. Don't just go out in your yard and start digging. I heard that message God gave on Wednesday. Did y'all see Demetrius? He was out in the yard at 2 o'clock in the morning with a shovel. Tina's beside herself. He done messed up the yard. Did you hear from God on that? Or are you just digging? If you're just digging, then you're working. You're not resting. But if God says it, then it's rest. Because it's Holy Spirit-inspired activity. That's what rest is. Holy Spirit-inspired activity. Your own efforts are dry. But when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, it is rest. All right, let's wrap. Let's go a little bit faster. John chapter 6, verse 3. Then Jesus went up on the mountain. There he sat down with his disciples. The Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Jesus saw a large crowd coming to him. Said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?
Where is the provision going to come from? This he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. God already had a plan for this need before they started walking up. He already knew what he intended to do about the bill. He already knew what he intended to do about your house. He already knew what he intended to do about your car. He already knew what he intends to do about whatever your need is. He already knew what he intended to do about this need approaching him. Philip answered and said, 200 denarii worth of bread, denarius, it's one day's wage. Do the math. What is an average one-day wage for a worker or a laborer today? I mean, we're talking about, you know, you multiply it by 40 hours a week, you know, 52 weeks in a year. I mean, we're talking about a minimum of tens of thousands of dollars here. You think about if you're catering an event, how much per head? Do the math. 5,000, not including women and children. This is a big budget. I got to feed all these people. How is this going to get done? What do you have? There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these among so many people? I got a $1,000 bill and I got $10. What is that $10 amongst a $1,000 bill? Give it to God. Do as the Holy Spirit directs you to do with it. If he tells you to sow it, you sow it, invest it, sow it into someone else, sow it into church when you come. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, you do it. But $10 among $1,000 is nothing. But $10 with a promise, the Holy Spirit and God working on your behalf can become more than what you need. Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was much grass. The people sat down. Jesus took the loaves, having given thanks. He distributed to those who were seated. Other gospels say that he first gave to the disciples and they distributed. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, again, here it is, gather up the leftovers. It wasn't just enough to meet the need. There were leftovers so that nothing will be lost. So they gathered them up, filled 12 baskets. How many disciples did we have? 12, because the laborer is worthy of his hire. All right, last verse, and then we'll be done. 1 Kings chapter 17. God has commanded people to bless you. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, surely there will neither be rain or dew these years except by my word. The word of the Lord came to him, saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded. Who is God dealing with about you? What birds is God dealing with about you? What animals is God dealing with about you? Brian, a dog walked up to me and brought me a brisket. It seems funny, but I commanded the ravens to feed you here. Commanded, no option, no choice. If God deals with somebody about you, puts you on somebody's heart who has the resources and has the provision, God can use that person to bless you. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Brian, everything was going good. You know, we were doing well for 2 or 3 years. Now it's gone. God got something else for you. Then
the word of the Lord came to him saying, now go to Zarephath, for I have commanded. Again, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose. He went to Zarephath. He did what God told him to do. You need to do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, not what man tells you to do, but what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. And if you do that, you'll walk into your provision. But he said, I have commanded these things. I have commanded these people to bless you. I have commanded these things to bless you. That means they are ordained. They are locked in with my will to be a benefit on your behalf. So the word is tonight, in all three of these passages, God looked around. There's a lad here who has five loaves and two fish. Let's grab, God said, what we have in our hand. What do we have in our hand? I'm going to use what already exists, what's already around you, what's already in your life, what's already in your network, what's already in your sphere of influence. I'm going to use something in there as a vessel to bring about provision for your life. Let's let our expectation be that God can use anything in his creation to bring about provision. He can use any vessel that he wants to. Don't look for money falling out of the sky. Look at what God is doing with his earth on your behalf, his creation that resonates with him to bring about the manifestation of your blessing. Amen? Amen. Praise God.
Awesome word. I call that, don't bring me a shovel, bring me a bucket. I'd rather pour out than to go dig up the backyard. But if God says to dig up the backyard, I'm digging. Good word, Brother Brian. We appreciate that. You've been blessed by the word. Now let's bless Brother Brian. Buckets are up here, as you know. We're going to be a blessing to him. Remember Saturday night, prayer meeting, Saturday morning, work day. If you need to come Thursday or Friday to get started, I know some people are coming tomorrow. Go ahead and do what you need to do, but the church will be open all day tomorrow and then half a day on Friday. And then Saturday, we'll be here. So keep those things in mind. Sunday morning, Brother Joel's going to bless us real good. We're going to have a good time. We're going to celebrate. And get ready for what God has in store for us. Because there's been a lot of good stuff going on. But God never saves the worst for last. I guess that's right. We're building. We're going up. We're doing better. Amen. And we're going to do it together. Stand with us and let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for the word that we've heard. Thank you, Father, that we receive your word in our hearts, Father God. Let it burn in our hearts, Father, to the point that we will not forget. We will not take it lightly, but Father God, we receive your word and we will meditate on it. We will not let the cares of the world choke it out or steal it, but Father God, we will nurture it and let it grow so that we are listening and obeying to do what you have commanded us to do, what you have spoken for us to do, Father. We thank you. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for all of your goodness and your mercy, your loving kindness, your great abundance and your provision, for you are our provider. We thank you, Father God. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Go ahead and just lift your voice for a few minutes in praising God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name. Praise your name. We glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are working in our behalf. You are working in our lives, and you are causing your grace and your mercy to be manifested in our lives, Father God. And I thank you that your provision is overflowing in each of our lives, each household, each family, Father God. I thank you. Thank you, Father God. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we just lift up your people now. We call them blessed. We say that no weapon formed against your people, the people of house of the Lord, no weapon formed against them prospers, but every tongue that would rise up in judgment or in condemnation or even bad opinion, we cast it down and say it is null and void of effect in their lives. Thank you, Father, that you surround your people with goodness and mercy. You go before them with favor. And you lead them, Father God, into plain paths of your blessings, of your goodness. Father, and I thank you that your Holy Spirit leads us and guides us always in truth, triumph, and victory. And that we are, everywhere we go, we are the sweet-smelling aroma of your presence in every place. And the work of our hands is blessed, Father God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, say something.
How are you? We're blessed. I am blessed. I want to just thank all of you who had so much to a part that you played during Pastor Appreciation and Jim's memorial. God is good. He is blessing me and keeping me, and I go forward, and I'm here. I'm going to be a part. I'm not going anywhere. This is our church. Amen. I love you, and I appreciate all that you have done and do, and I'm expecting great and mighty things to continue for House of the Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Did you have something, Brother Arthur? Oh. Well, get out. No, I'm just kidding. You are loved. You are blessed. Go with God.